before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst. Cleanse your palate before you quench your thirst.
Hello and welcome to Drinking on the Last Frontier. Yes, your ears do not deceive you. We are back on the air. One time only special return engagement for Pledge Week here on KDLL 91.9 FM. Thanks always to Recess Duty for playing us in with our theme song. We got a live show for you this time around. I've got Zach Henry here as my guest. And remember the purpose of the exercise. Please call 907-513-1996 or donate online at kdll.org. If you've already donated, you can call that number and ask us questions during the course of the show. Before we get going on the chit-chat, I have a few items of beer news to tell everybody about. The Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival has announced a change of date and a change of venue for this year's festival. In the past, the festival was held at the Soldotna Sports Center on the second Saturday of August. This year, the festival is moving to Soldotna Creek Park and will take place on Saturday, June 26, from 5 to 9 p.m. In another change, the festival is doing away with its connoisseur session, which took place during the first hour of the festival. This year, all tickets will be general admission only. This event is a fundraiser for the Soldotna Rotary Club. Tickets should be on sale soon. The Seward Brewing Company opened for the 2025 season on May 14th. Also on May 14th, Midnight Sun Brewing Company in Anchorage celebrated its 30th anniversary with a beer dinner. Devil's Club Brewing Company in Juneau has released an app that lists events at the brewery, their tap list, menus, upcoming events, and even allows patrons to order food. The brewery also has a locals-only membership with discounts and rewards. After almost a year of waiting, Kenai River Brewing Company has finally received its restaurant eating place license from the state of Alaska. This will allow the brewery's tap room to operate like a restaurant, permitting such things as entertainment, serving beer and wine from other manufacturers, and lifting the 36-ounce per person per day limit. It's unclear at present if Kenai River will implement any of these changes to its taproom operations before this fall. 49th State Brewing has been named the Champion Medium International Brewery at the Australia International Beer Awards in Melbourne, one of the most prestigious beer competitions in the world. To earn this accolade, each of its competition entries needed to be of outstanding quality. In addition to this award, the brewery also took home a gold medal for its Golden Doll Triple, a silver medal for its Smoked Marzen, and a silver medal for Nitro McCarthy Stout. There's some bad news from Fairbanks. The highly acclaimed restaurant, Lavelle's Bistro, will close its doors on May 31st. Founders Kathy Lavelle and Frank Eagle cited a catastrophic collapse of economic confidence and consumer spending as the cause for the closing. Finally, my latest book, The Alaska Homebrewer's Bible, Techniques and Recipes for Chechakos and Sourdoughs, has been published. You can order paperback versions for $12 or Kindle versions for $9.99 from Amazon.com. If you'd prefer to throw some bucks to a struggling author, feel free to contact me directly. I'll be happy to sell you a copy for the same price, along with an autograph and whatever inscription you'd like. That's it for beer news. So let's say hello to my guest today, Zach Henry of St. Elias. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Bill.
Hey, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. So how are things going at St. Elias?
Good. We're just kind of gearing up for summer, kind of seeing the writing on the wall. You've seen the traffic out there. If you have to take a left turn, it's a bad deal. There's a lot of people in town, so we're gearing up.
Have you got your patio and such open yet?
We do. Yep. Got all the tables out there. Got a few people already sitting out there.
So head on by and enjoy it today while the sun is shining and we got a nice day. Who knows how many of those we'll get this summer? Hopefully a lot, but you never know.
Yep.
So what do you guys got on tap right now? What's new? Anything exciting?
Currently we have like Timberline Farms beer that we grew all the hops there with Frank Donham out at Timberline Farms in Sterling. And we have that on tap. It's all hops grown in Alaska. It's pretty unique. It's an ESB, which is kind of a style that we used to see a lot more back.
What does ESB stand for our listeners who don't know?
Extra Special Bitter, which is an English pale ale, pretty much. The English version of our pale ale. It turned out really, really nice. Got Hefeweizen in the fermenter going right now here. Okay. So should have that ready here in another, I don't know, week or two.
Going to be serving it in the big 20-ounce glasses, right?
If people want it, yeah, that way. Yep, sure.
Well, good. Anything else coming out? When's the Island Girl coming?
Well, that'll be coming pretty soon. I had like a little snafu with getting fruit and stuff, but I've got things back in order again. So we have a blueberry beer on right now. It's pretty good.
Okay, great. Well, if you've got any questions for Zach or I, feel free to call 907-513-1996, and we'll do our best to answer them. And that's also the number to call to make a donation to KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. It's only your donations that's going to keep us on the air, especially these days. If you've been paying any attention, you realize there's a bit of a funding issue from the federal government. So perhaps that'll get solved, or perhaps they won't. But we need your money to stay on the air. Thanks. So have you guys based, I think I've asked you this before, but I'm not sure if I've asked you on air, have you guys made any changes with your operations since the new revision to the licenses? Are you guys going to do anything different?
I don't know. We haven't really moved in that direction yet, but it seemed like there was, you know, how the government operates. Things are a little slow sometimes to implement, you know, some of the changes. And so,
well, the main change for you would be you can sell more of your beer through distribution, right?
If you want to. Yeah. We're not really set up. I mean, I guess our business model is more a brew pub, just to, you know, pretty much buy it there. So I don't know that we're going to utilize that, but it's kind of nice to be able to if we want to.
Because you would use it, you could
sell to
can more stuff and
sell
off-site, distribute to some of the local shops if you wanted to.
Yep.
Yeah. So how have you noticed, as we mentioned the federal government, have you noticed any changes in your prices for your ingredients, your cans, anything like that? Have you made any recent purchases lately? Have you seen any increases?
Definitely. Yeah, it seems like malt prices have definitely gone up. Not sure about the cans yet. We're so small. We're just like canning, pretty much selling out of our business there. And so we haven't seen that yet with the cans, but we'll see, I guess, with time.
Yeah. Well, we know the prices never go down. It's only a question of how much do they go up.
Right.
So, what else? Anything else of interest for you guys going on? You guys doing anything with your food menu?
No major changes. Right now, we're just kind of holding steady, trying to get people hired up for the summer and kind of just stay in the course.
So you guys are hiring, huh? If there's anybody out there who's looking for some summer work?
Yeah, always. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I've been, let's talk about beer more in general these days. It seems like the go-go days of, say, 10 years ago is kind of over. Mm-hmm. We're seeing some pretty pretty well-known breweries seem to be folding their tents. I saw just the other day where the Duck Rabbit out of North Carolina was going out of business, and they've been around a long time, and I would say we're generally considered pretty successful. So any thoughts?
Oh, I don't know. It's definitely sad to see some of these landmark breweries go down, but it seems like when they go down, there's 10 more that pop up, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think we've had a lot start up here in Alaska in the last year or two. I mean, we had several that started up during the pandemic, I think, that were kind of in the pipeline and everything like that. But I'm trying to think if we had anybody in the last couple of years new come on the scene. A couple have changed ownership, you know, but nobody's like popping into my head as somebody new who's opened up. I think I want to say the last one was like Ship Creek, maybe a year ago, year and a half, something like that.
Yep. So,
Bill, have you heard, I don't know much about it other than people mention it's not a brewery, certainly, but there's a new like meadery or something maybe opening in Soldotna. Do you know
I've
anything
seen
about
the sign,
that?
The Arctic Buzz meadery there on the highway. But that sign has been up for
probably almost a year.
Like a year and a half?
Yeah, at this point, I kind of tune it out because I'm like, I was pretty excited when I first saw it and then nothing.
Yeah,
okay.
But I haven't heard. Have you heard anything about it?
I haven't.
Heard a word. So,
no.
Okay, just curious.
Arctic Buzz Meadery, but, you know, I don't know if it's, what do they call it in software? Vaporware, where it's announced it's coming out and you never see it again. So I'm not sure if there's a similar situation going on there.
Zach, have you ever tried to get into the mead world at all? Is that something you've ever
played
around with?
You need a different license for that,
right?
I would. I messed around with it home brewing, and I made a batch of mead. It was turned out pretty good.
Well, speaking of meaderies, you know, it should be next month, I believe, where that case is going to finally go to trial with Grace Ridge Brewing and the Sweet Gale Meadery and some winery, Bear Creek, I'm not sure, where they're suing the state over the limitations on their tap room, that they're arguing that it's a infringement on their First Amendment rights to tell them that they can't have entertainment and that basically about the entertainment ideas. So it'll be interesting to see if that goes to court and what comes of it. So that's never been, you guys were always able to have entertainment, right? Under a brewpub
license?
Yeah,
we can.
Basically like a restaurant eating place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, excellent time to ask one of our questions that got submitted.
Relevant
to your conversation. We got a couple specifically for Zach, but one of them was, do you ever see yourself getting back to doing like music? I mean, that was a thing. St. Elias did have like musicians back in the day. So speaking of, you know, events and breweries changing licenses, is that something that you ever foresee happening again?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I think the problem that we had is just the forethought in building our business. It wasn't really set up very well for live entertainment because it was so stinking loud in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a lot of people complaining like, oh, I can't, you know, come in here and eat without getting blasted. But definitely like, might be cool to do something like out on the patio or something on a nice day. But yeah.
Actually patio question for you as well.
Okay.
You're just like teeing them up for me. Any thoughts about enclosing a patio or heaters on the patio or making it more of like a two season in Alaska? We're probably not going to get three season, but.
Yeah, we've talked about it, definitely. Like, I actually just went up east to get my daughter from college, and we stopped at a place that was kind of an outdoor venue where they grilled a bunch of, you know, different foods and stuff, but it was really cool. They had a setup where they could, like, pull, like an awning, kind of like a circus tent.
Sunsetter?
Yeah, but it was kind of cool. Like, so then that way, rain or shine, it's like they could operate. And so we've talked about that, like something maybe that we could just, you know, if it's raining outside, it'd be sweet to have a covering or we could actually seat people out there and not just rely on, you know, the best weather. But
yeah, well, right, that's you know, from your perspective, you're probably, during the height of the summer, you're probably basically turning people away, right? Because you're basically full all the time during the, pretty, at least during the peak hours.
Pretty much, yeah, in the summertime. Yeah, it's pretty packed. So. Actually, even, I was just popped in there yesterday, and it was like the business was pulsing. There were so many people in there. It was like, oh my gosh, get me out of here.
See, that's why when I own a business, that's how I want to be. I want to be able to pop in occasionally as opposed to be there every damn day working my butt off.
But so. I didn't talk about like me spending like a week on, you know, trying to fix a refrigerator that we had. And yeah. There's a bunch of stuff in the background going on. So
that's right. You're definitely a back of the house guy, Zach.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, that'd be interesting. Yeah. I mean, to be able to anything like that with awnings and heaters mm-hmm. and stuff to make things more accessible. I mean, because mm-hmm. as we were saying, you never know what kind of, even during the summer, you don't know what kind of weather we're going to get anymore.
Yep.
And we could get have another one of those cold summers, wet, rainy, and it would be nice to not be, you know, to still be able to put people out there.
Yeah, it would.
So, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your perception of the future trends. So we were kind of talking about this before we sat down here and went on air. You know, what's a fad and what's a trend? You know,
there's
so many things that seem to come along and we think they're fads, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden somehow they turn into trends. Because as we were saying, I mean, I was drinking non-alcoholic beer in 1987 when I was on deployment because no alcohol was allowed on board my submarine. So we had non-alcoholic beer, and it was pretty terrible. But here we are 30 years later. No, excuse, strike that, 40 years later, and non-alcoholic beer is a big thing, and craft breweries are making it, and everything like that. So what's your thoughts about that? Do you think, is that something that has a future, a real future to it, or is it going to be, you know, is this going to be 2 or 3 years, it'll be like hard root beer?
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be like, oh, yeah, people used to make hard root beer,
mm-hmm.
but nobody's making it anymore. So what do you think?
Gosh, I don't know. Definitely, like, I think they've come a long ways with the NA beer. You can actually get a non-alcoholic beer that kind of tastes like beer.
Kind of.
Well, at least the hops, like, because it used to be, it was just a kind of a mass market lager flavor without the alcohol in it. It was pretty bland, but I feel like some of them are actually pretty good. I've had a couple. I had one from Sierra Nevada that was like I think it's called Trail Pass, and that was actually pretty good, pretty hoppy. Mix it in like you could have a beer and then have a non-alcoholic beer after, and you kind of trick your mind.
As opposed to water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's you know, it's hard to say with these things what. Is it going to have long-term appeal, you know?
Right.
I mean, obviously, the statistics I've seen seem to suggest that the younger generations, the people in their early 20s, who in theory would be just moving into their prime drinking years, mm-hmm. seem to be very leery of alcohol. The percentage of them that mm-hmm. don't drink at all or think alcohol is going to, you know, negatively affect their long-term health mm-hmm. seems to be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
You know, the statistics for people my age and your age is kind of like, nah, it'll be fine.
Right.
I'd rather have a beer and not worry about it. But the younger folks seem to be, have a very, what's the phrase? They're very risk averse.
Right.
So, and they perceive alcohol as a risk that they shouldn't take. So
well, and they're counting calories too. A lot of them
are counting calories or whatever it is. Though I don't know that non-alcohol, I guess they probably is lower calories.
Right.
Does have alcohol.
Like a seltzer or something.
But
yeah.
Again, water has zero calories
in it.
That's true. So if you're worried about calories. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be is this a fad? Is this going to be 3 or 4 years from now, we won't even, you know, this will be like glitter IPA,
mm-hmm.
Or is it a trend like New England IPA,
and
it will be still be having non-alcoholic beers in 10 years.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Like, if you go to the store to buy beer and just seeing the shelf space of the different seltzers and mixed drinks now, you know, like...
canned mixed drinks.
Yeah, yeah. Canned mixed drinks. It just, it's taken up like a 30% of the... Yeah. What used to be beer shelf
space. Right, I was
going to
say, and given the fact that there's limited shelf space, every gain for those drinks, whether it's seltzer, premixed cocktails, or whatever, that translates into a loss for beer.
Yeah, you know? It does. You see a lot less seasonal beers, too, like a lot of these bigger companies. I would always look forward to going in and seeing what was the new seasonal and trying it, and now it's just like they're sticking to their meat and potatoes.
You know what this reminds me a little of? I guess I'm show my age. I'm a little older than you. But when I was in college, the big thing then was wine coolers.
Oh, right.
I generally mean women, were buying lots and lots of wine coolers. And you saw a lot of that.
Purple Passion and
all those. I wonder if that was, in a way, seltzers is hitting that same sort of niche for people who want alcohol, but they want it to taste sweet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anyway. Hey, if you've got any questions out there, please give us a call at 907-513-1996. Otherwise, Mr. Henry and I will continue to talk about how things were better when we were younger and everything has gone to hell.
We've got a couple.
Oh, okay.
One of them, I feel like you already covered, is our brewery seeing impacts of tariffs or increased prices, which you talked about, but if there's anything else you want to say on that one.
No, I mean, I definitely like the prices are up, like, you know, across the board on pretty much everything.
Is that, like, at what point does that get passed on to customers? Do you, like, I mean, is it even worth charging like 4 cents more per beer or something, or like when is it?
I guess it just depends on how much more it costs us, you know.
Right.
It's like, yeah,
at some point it's got to get passed on
at some point. If you want a business.
Another trend question: thoughts on marijuana infused beer? I don't know that anybody around here does that, but
is that legal in Alaska?
I have no idea.
I don't think it is.
It's from what they said, there's some Kush-infused beer that they tried, and it was in, it looks like, Oregon or something. But so, like, THC-infused beers showing up different places.
People have talked about that.
Yeah.
And I know I've seen some not in Alaska that had CBD in them, but not THC. But, the licensing up here, I think, would be kind of ridiculously hard because you'd have to have, and I don't know, you probably don't know enough about the marijuana license to know whether it is, because I don't know what kind of licensure you'd need to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So yeah, I wonder
we're
if
gonna
the,
punt on that
I
one.
Wonder if the actual brewing of that is like, I mean, I'm sure there's some amount of, like, you know, managing the THC, but like the flavor profile too, because
marijuana
definitely has a flavor to it.
I'm confident that there's people, homebrewers, who have done that. I just don't think that you could do it commercially given the number of hoops that you would jump through. If, again, I'm kind of talking through my hat because cannabis has never been a particular interest of mine. I always was able to scratch my itch with alcohol. I really didn't need any of that other stuff. And for 20 years, the Navy could make me pee in a cup at the drop of a hat. So it's kind of one of those vices you never cultivate. But I seem to remember reading somewhere that you have to heat the THC a certain amount to get it to turn into psychoactive. So... I don't know. I don't know what you'd have to do to the cannabis to then so that you could pull the THC out of it and have it be in the beer and be psychoactive.
Isn't there like a relationship between hops and cannabis? Like
they're sister plants or something?
They're
fairly close cousins to each other, I think, in the botanical world. But, I mean, hops, you're obviously, you're working with the oils. The lupulin oils are what you're after. Whereas I don't think THC is an oil. It's, we're going to punt on that one again, because that's just something that neither of us apparently knows enough about to to give a good comment, other than I'm pretty confident that it's illegal in Alaska.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I went back and looked at the comment. They're specifically mentioning they'd seen it in Colorado, not in Alaska. But
yeah, different states under different licensure regimes. Right. I think you could maybe do it. Mm-hmm. So,
I also have a home brewing question if you guys want to branch into that. So they're a big fan of smoked beers, and they're mm-hmm. wondering if there's a way that they could recreate that in a homebrew.
If you read my new book, there's section in there about smoked beers. You can do it and chime in here anywhere you want, Zach, but mm-hmm. you can do it the easy way or the harder way. The easy way is you go to Arctic Brewing Supply or wherever, and you buy some smoked malt, which is malt that has been produced in what was once the only way that malt could be produced, which was where it was getting exposed to the smoke from a wood fire as part of the drying process. Typically, you'll see German malts, which are called Rausch malts, which I think typically use cherry. Mm. Though I think I've seen some where they used apple.
I think Beechwood's another one.
Beechwood, yes, yeah, that's Beechwood. Another one. Yeah. Or you can get the peat smoke stuff, which is obviously uses peat like a Scotch whiskey, mm-hmm. and a relatively small amount of that in a homebrew recipe. I would tell you, be careful. That stuff mm-hmm. is strong, particularly the peat smoke stuff. When I make my smoked scotch that I want to have a hint of peat smoke in, I think I use an ounce for a 5-gallon batch. Mm-hmm. I have another beer I brew where I use like 3 ounces of Rausch malt. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can smoke your own malt. So if you've got a smoker and you have some malt, there's nothing that says you can't just put that puppy in your smoker and smoke it for a while, using alder or, you know, whatever kind of flavor you want to impart. So,
yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I've done a couple smoked beers and tried a few different smoked malts. I think my favorite is that cherry smoked. I think Weyermann makes it.
Yeah,
it's with cherry, but that one's really good.
Yeah, if you are looking for some commercial examples, obviously a lot of breweries in Alaska have made, you know, Alaskan with their smoked porter is very famous. Mm-hmm. Midnight Sun has made several smoked beers, but there's at Country Liquors right now, I just saw them the other day, they have several of the German beers in from the Bamberg region where they use German Rausch type malt.
Mm-hmm. Beechwood, probably, I bet.
Beechwood, where it's like they have like a Bock and a Marzen mm-hmm. and can't think of the third one. But anyway, there are mm-hmm. some examples there that you could taste. But if you're interested in giving it a go, I suggest you buy my book and read the section in it about using smoke and smoked beers.
Well, you should mention where and how and that the book is available.
Right now, it's available on Amazon. You can get it for $12 in paperback or $9.99 in Kindle. Or you can contact me directly, and I'll be happy to sell you a copy and autograph it for you and all that kind of good stuff. As of right now, nobody is selling it locally besides me, but that could change. So, like I said, if you want a copy and you want it signed, I can get it to you, or you can buy it from Amazon like everybody else buys everything else in the world. So, smoked beers. I'm trying to think what the last one you did was.
Gosh, it's been a long time. I mean, when it comes down to it, that is a very niche market. Like, not everybody likes.
Yeah, who like them really like them, and the people who don't really don't. It's kind of like scotch.
Uh-huh, yeah. So. Yeah. I was thinking Alaskan Brewing Company, I thought that they smoked their own malt, but they did it in a facility where they also smoked salmon.
Right. I think they bought Taku Smokery.
Yeah.
And a while back, and they use alderwood mm-hmm. for the porter, I know.
Yeah.
Another, now that I just thought about it, another smoked beer that's available at Country Liquors is the one from 49th State.
Oh, yeah.
That just won an award that I mentioned in the news show. They have that in cans there. They're, mm-hmm. It's a smoked Marzen.
Yeah.
that they have available, which is also quite good. It's won a lot of awards, things like that. So, yeah, that, like you say, it's definitely an acquired taste for smoked anything, let's face it.
Yeah.
If you're going for it in your homebrew, my advice is start off subtle, because it's very easy to overdo. I've made that mistake a couple of times, and like I said, when your beer tastes like an ashtray, you've kind of overdone it a little bit.
Like you lit a cigar and like dropped it in your carboy.
Yeah, there you go. So, again, if you'd like to donate, please call 907-513-1996, or you can donate online at kdll.org, or you can call that number to give us another question. Have we got anything new, Jenny?
I've got a couple others.
Okay.
So, turning towards summer, Mike has family visiting, and they're doing some road tripping around the state. So, what breweries or craft beer shops would you guys recommend they like what are the don't be missed spots on
don't
the road
be
system
missed spots? Oh, now I gotta pick from amongst my children. So, well, depending, I'm gonna assume that they're road tripping is mainly the rail belt. So obviously there's all the great spots on the peninsula: Homer Brewing, Grace Ridge Brewing, Kenai River, St. Elias, Cooper Landing, Seward, Stony Creek. I always remember Stony Brook or Stony Creek. Mm-hmm. Stony Creek, Seward Brewing, Girdwood and Girdwood Brewing is definitely worth a stop. When you hit Anchorage, there's a lot of places there, but the places that I would say you really want to not miss are Anchorage Brewing Company, because that place is like a cathedral of wood. When you walk in and you see all the wooden tanks and everything like that. So, and it's obviously Fletcher is a world-renowned brewer and everything. So there, Midnight Sun Brewing Company, if you're going to stop at Anchorage, you might as well stop at King Street, because it's right next door. Downtown, 49th State, I just talked about all the awards and everything they won. So that's definitely worth it.
Turnagain.
What's that?
Turnagain Brewing. That's on King Street
Turnagain,
as well.
Turnagain, yeah. That took over the old facility from King Street. They've won a lot of awards. Heading out from there, you know, if you're going north, if you can make a side trip over to Palmer, Bleeding Heart is quite good. You go through Wasilla, there's Bapaw River right there. They have a lot of good food at their newer location. Rolling on, you know, Talkeetna, you got to stop at Denali Brewing. They're right just off the highway there. They're like 3 or 4 miles up the spur is their big brewing facility. And then when you get to Fairbanks, Hoodoo Brewing and Black Spruce Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hoodoo's been there for quite a while now, and Black Spruce has won numerous awards. They haven't been open that long, but they've been winning medals and stuff at the place right or left. So,
what about Silver Gulch? Are they still operating?
They're still operating. They're a little further up there at Fox. So, yeah. I mean, they're there. I'm not sure I would go out of my way to go to Silver Gulch. I mean, they're okay, but I wouldn't put them as like one of the top tier breweries in the state. Sorry, Glenn. Hate to say that about you, but you know, just I think they're not quite on the same level as Hoodoo or Black Spruce for Fairbanks. I'm sure there's others that I've overlooked. You know, depending on where you're going to go, there's two breweries in Valdez. There's all kinds of breweries down in Southeast. I mean, you know, if you're going to hit Haines, you got to hit Haines Brewing Company. If you're going to go through Skagway, got to hit Skagway Brewing Company. It's 3 in Juneau these days. But I would say those along the main rail belt, those are the ones I would definitely hit. And, you know, if you can only hit one in Anchorage, I would hit Anchorage Brewing Company because, like I said, that place has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah, so, he's a great brewer.
Anything else you'd add?
I was just thinking not a brewery, but La Bodega up in Anchorage is a great spot to find you know, look.
That's a great spot to, if you wanted to buy beers to take back with you to get a good view of the whole state. Another place we're stopping, like sort of like that in Anchorage, is Tent City downtown. They usually have beers on draft from all around the state, so you can taste beers there that otherwise you would have to like drive to Valdez or Haynes or someplace to be able to sample. So I would recommend them. So yeah, there's an itinerary of sorts.
So I just learned something new in this next question. Backpacking beer. I didn't know this was a thing. Not like what beer is worth taking in your backpack, but apparently there's like a beer concentrate that you can add water to you can have beer for a lower... What have you got? I have not heard of that before.
I have never used it. I have seen it. Actually, I had somebody give me some once that I never got around to
Bill, you got to product test that, man. Yeah. I want to know.
So have you ever actually tasted any?
I haven't, no. I read an article, but it was probably like over a year ago. It was some Australian company or something that
I'm not sure where this the one I had was from, but basically it there was a packet of concentrate that you dissolved in water, and then there was a tablet that you tossed into it.
Yeah, there's an activator.
That activated and basically made the CO2 to carbonate it. So, my advice is get some St. Elias in a can and drink it and then crush the can and carry it back out with you. So, because I guarantee it'll be better carbonated probably and taste better than anything that you can pack in a concentrate.
A little more cost effective. This kit that they sent a link to is $91.40. So
for how many?
That's an excellent question.
I put it this way, you could buy a lot of your beer for $91.40.
Yeah.
So.
It's an 8-pack of concentrates.
So, and each pack probably makes, if you're lucky, 16 ounces, maybe 12. So, you know.
It'd be interesting to try, though, just to see what it tastes like. Uh-huh. I'm sure it won't be as good as.
Well, let me say, I will go see if I can find mine, and I will give it to you, and you can try it.
All right.
You could make a report back to us about how good it was.
I'll take it out moose hunting or something. Yeah.
Just make sure you use warm water that you've packed around with you for all day to mix it with. Not nice ice cold water out of the tap, but warm water that you've carried in your canteen to God knows where. So. All righty.
Well, also in the summer vein, a question for Zach. Is St. Elias going to be at the Kenai Peninsula Brewing Festival? And if so, are you planning on tapping anything special?
We will definitely be there. We like to support our local stuff. But it's actually too far out. I'm like, it's hard for me to think a week ahead of my schedule right now. But I'm sure that we'll have something unique. I don't know what it'll be, but.
Excellent.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
For everybody to look forward to. It's interesting that I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody to see why they made the decision to move. You haven't heard anything, have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
That is a great venue, though, down there. The Sopata Creek Park's great.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's where we have the Frozen River Festival, so it should be just fine for their beer festival.
But. Yeah.
And the date's a little earlier, right? Didn't they move it up
3 weeks
calendar-wise,
it's 3 weeks earlier than it normally would be. It's aligned with Progress Days now.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same Saturday as Progress Days. So, I am curious what the driver was. Was it that they wanted a different venue and that meant the date had to move, or they wanted to move the date, which meant the venue had to move, or?
Well, they've got the new field house at the sports center now. I wonder if like parking lot availability.
But they had the festival last year when they were building the field house.
Well, but the field house is supposed to open in August. So maybe there was a concern about I don't know.
Could be. I don't know.
I know the turnout this last year wasn't great.
Yeah, it was raining too, as I recall.
Yeah,
it was cold and rainy. It was a crappy summer, so
well, maybe it makes sense to be where everybody driving by, they see it. Hey, it's
whatever. I'm just curious what the motivation was, but it should be nicer.
Yeah.
The easier to get in and out of, at least, at the very least.
Yeah.
So, any other
I've got two more. We got about 13 minutes left. And they're kind of related, but I'll take them one at a time. So what beer do you reach for when you're off the clock? Like personally, what's the one that you want at the end of a day?
Start with you.
I would say Pilsner. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like when I was home brewing, I was into all kinds of crazy this and that. And I've kind of circled back around to just a simple Pilsner.
Like, I too enjoy a nice Pilsner, particularly your Czech Pilsner, when I can get it in a can. I think the last time I was in there, you didn't have any in can, so I couldn't get any. So chop, chop, buddy boy.
Yep.
Get me up some more Pilsner. I tend to rotate through various things in my beer fridge. So I'll go to the store and I'll see a 4-pack or 6-pack of something that I think looks interesting. But I don't like to drink the same beer 2 or 3 nights in a row, typically. So I typically will have 3 or 4 different clusters of beer that I'm cycling through. So tonight I have an IPA, tomorrow night I have a Pilsner, the next night I have a Stout. And then I circle back around to the IPA, and I have another one of those, and just kind of keep working my way around because it's nice. I like the variety. So I like the fact that more beers are being bottled in smaller packages. Back in the day when everything was out in 22-ounce bombers, it's not that I couldn't drink one, but it's more appealing to me to have.
It's a little more of a commitment.
Yeah. Right. You got to really slog through it. I mean, it's great if you're sharing it with friends, but if it's just you, having a 12 ounce or even a 16 ounce is a lot less of a commitment than a 22 ounce or so. But yeah. So, I'm very fickle in my tastes. I cycle around to a lot of different stuff. So,
that's the cool thing about beer, right?
That's right.
Lots of different flavors.
In my father's house, there are many mansions. And there's I always say, there's a beer for everybody out there unless you're allergic to alcohol. And these days, then you can drink non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
So what's the second question?
So other kind of beer preference question. What was your gateway beer that got you into craft beers?
Oh, I know that one. How about you?
Jeez, I don't know. Like,
I know exactly which one it was.
Sierra
Anchor
Nevada.
Steam.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anchor Steam.
That was yours.
And the Pied Piper Pub in Hotel in San Francisco, the St. Charles Hotel in San Francisco in the spring of 1984. I can remember that beer, taste that beer, and that was the beer that was like, wow, beer can taste like this? Because I'd been drinking beer for a long time, because in those days, 18 was the drinking age. So I had been legally drinking beer for several years, and I tasted that beer, and I was like, this beer does not taste like any other beer that I've ever had. I didn't realize it at the time, not for another 4 or 5 years, what it was trying to tell me. But yeah, that was definitely my gateway beer. So, and then 4 or 5 years later, it was Sierra Nevada Pale Ale when that one came on the scene and was like, oh, yeah.
Remember Pete's Wicked?
Oh, yeah. Pete's Wicked Ale.
Those were some of the...
The brown, that was a brown ale, and then Sierra Nevada was a pale ale. And the funny thing, of course, is it's how your palate changes, because I can remember how hoppy Sierra Nevada was.
Right.
Pale ale. And you drink it today, and it's like, oh, that's nice, but that's not particularly hoppy.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was like this... Yep. Blast of fresh cascades, and you're like, whoa, look at this beer, it's so hoppy. So
that's probably what set Ballantine, you, the IPA, probably set
Ballantine IPA. I've never had one of those, but
everybody
talked about it.
But that was like one of the first IPAs, I think, commercially. But
right, right. Well, it was like old school. It had been around since the 30s or something like that.
Yeah.
And the other one, I think, that was a real path breaker, whatever you want to say, was Liberty Ale.
Oh, yeah.
From Anchor Steam. I can remember the first time I had one of those and thinking, wow, so hoppy.
Yeah.
Really, you know, really hop forward. And again, you drink it. I mean, it's not around to drink anymore since Anchor went out of business. But you would taste it. You know, you would be like, yeah, it's okay. It's it's got a little nice hops, but it was no Pliny the Elder double IPA, 100 IBUs, or any of that sort of stuff like we got used to drinking.
Zach, do you have one that you remember that kind of
In craft beer? I was thinking, probably Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. That was, I remember the first time I tried that, I was just like blown away. Like, oh my gosh, how did they do this? Probably that one. And Pete's Wicked, that was another one, that the brown ale.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, brown ale as a style.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, Pete's Wicked Ale was like it and Boston Lager were like the two best-selling craft beers in the country.
Right.
And by 2011, they stopped making it.
Yeah.
Nobody's drinking it.
Yeah, it's sad.
What can you say? You live long enough. Times change, man.
Yeah.
So, we got anything else?
Nope, that'll do it.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming back in and having a go with us again with the Drinking on the Last Frontier. Who knows? Maybe the next time KDLL needs to rattle their cup at you, we'll come back and, and help them do that. Zach, my friend, I want to thank you so much for taking an hour out of your busy day and driving out here to the studio and sitting down with us and answering a few questions. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
So, yeah, and everybody go by St. Elias and buy a lot of their stuff and, you know, try and get a table in amongst all the tourists. You know, it's getting to be that time of year where you can't go in anywhere in this town because it's everywhere is full, so, which is good for people like Zach. So, alrighty. Well, thank you very much. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. And remember, go to 907-513-1996 or KDLL.org. Thank you very much.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
IPAs, ales and stouts, pilsners, porters too. Microbrew, homebrew, any craft you choose. Look before you leap, sip before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Might be the worst to cleanse your palate before you quench your thirst.